Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.
Sunday, a day to worship. Worship a small egg-shaped ball.
Oh no, he drops the ball.
You've got to respect the ball.
Long live the weekend. Long live rugby league.
Oh, you've got to love your rugby league.
Triple M, Sunday
Sinbin. Yes, indeed. No maroon today. That's terrible news for Kent, for Hooper, for Tallis. So it's Dan Ganane filling in. And we've got plenty to get through this afternoon. What a weekend it's been. It started with that classic game, or that classic finish in particular at Penrith. But then the injuries. My goodness. Paul Kent, hello to you.
Hello, Dan. Good to see you. I tell you what, you certainly brightened up that chair.
I feel like I'm in the chair, and I just feel like Hooper, you blokes can just bash me for 3 hours.
That'll happen. We've only just started, Dan. We've only just kicked off. But I'll tell you what, Anthony, he must be crook, because I know how much this show means to him. He absolutely loves it. It's a highlight of his week. So no question he'll be back next week and flying out of the line, looking to bring plenty of energy to the table. The footy, brilliant. Just outstanding. The injury toll, I can't recall seeing anything like this for a number of years now. I think if you add it all up between some of the biggest names in the game, like Luke Keary, Ben Hunt, Joe Tarpanay, Wade Graham, Mitchell Moses, it's easily over $10 million worth of talent that we saw sidelined over the course of the weekend of football so far. So there's going to be a hell of a lot to follow up out of that.
Gordon Tallis, how is the beautiful city of Brisbane? I'm enjoying your calls on a Sunday night with Andy Raymond, and you're joined by the King tonight. King Wally Lewis is with you.
Wally Lewis is up in Townsville. He's on the sideline. It's a beautiful day. Woke up, and I live a little near a little footy field, and the young, I reckon they would have been under 9s and 10s are out there playing a game, and you hear the whistle and the parents cheering on the sideline. You can smell the sausages. My morning was perfect.
Are you inviting us up Magic Round? Are we going to have a big night at the Tallis household?
Absolutely.
You've talked this house up for years. We've got to get a look at it.
No, I've just said that you can all come over for a beer.
Mate, haven't you seen it? It's made a couple of cameo appearances on Matty Johns' program.
It took years actually to be completed.
Still.
It's like a palace. It's enormous. It's the Palace of Tallis.
The Palace of Tallis it is, too.
Now, all right, gents.
It's got a basketball court that never gets used.
Is that got a tennis court as well?
Tennis court, yeah.
Well, imagine Gordy playing tennis. I took the net down because the kids want a scooter on it. Basically, what it is...
Took the net down.
...is I'm late. Well, I'm too lazy to mow the lawn because it gets hot up here. So you just take the net down, and it's got a big gate, and they can't get over the fence. So it's basically just childcare. It's parenting. It's parenting. You throw balls down there, throw the scooters, do that, and every now and then you just throw down a sandwich or a packet of chips.
All right,
joking, guys.
We're looking forward to getting there. But let's talk about the footy. It started brilliantly with that game, but then it's gone, Kenty. It's gone downhill fast. Have we ever seen an injury toll like this?
No, I haven't, but I think it's really added to the contest in a perverse way. I thought the Parramatta game the other night was against Cronulla. I thought Cronulla were tremendously brave. I thought the Raiders were tremendously brave. I thought in a perverse way, it added to the contest. I'm not a believer in all this narrative that's going on at the moment about we need an 18th man and all the rest of it. I think that's just a bit of hysteria. People actually are quite aware of what the consequences of what they're asking for. We'll obviously get to that later. But I think the game's been terrific. I will say, though, I think the Brisbane-Canterbury game was quite possibly the worst game I've ever seen in my life.
I'll go further. That's in the grand final for the worst games in 113 years of rugby league. Opening 60 minutes, if anyone's battling to sleep at all, at the moment suffering with a bit of insomnia, bang that one on. I know they come good in the last 20 minutes, Gordy, and it was great.
No, they didn't. They
result
didn't. They
for
just,
Brisbane.
They just
they
lasted
needed some
longer.
Confidence.
They didn't come good. They just lasted longer. It was,
I put a glass eye to sleep that game.
It was the lowest game of football that was ever played. I cannot believe how bad it was.
I turned to Braith at half time, and I said, "Braith, this could be the worst game in the history of the game, and we're part of it."
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, and you'll live on in infamy with that, Dan, because I tell you now, whenever someone says, what's the worst game you ever see? I now know what my answer is. Because when you see two blokes having a fight and they're just, you know, one's not willing, one's not game. And so they just sort of move around and neither lands a blow. They just sort of shuffle around. That was what this game was like. They neither of them really wanted to score a point. They could not get to the kick. It was so bad. It was, if you were coaching your under 14 team and they played like this, you'd call them in after the game and say, boys, what's going on? Come on, what's going on? We're going to do an extra session next week. Because 14 year olds would have not played this poorly.
Well, let's celebrate the good, Paul, because I know how much you love doing that. We've got your good time segment on NRL 360 once a week now. That epic out there Thursday night between Melbourne and Penrith, and it came down to that last-minute play, but there were so many turning points in what was just a ripping contest. And then again yesterday, the Raiders and the Warriors. Yeah. The Raiders, their bench completely stripped out, and an epic and brave performance. And then, you know, again, 1,000 different turning points. Ricky at the end obviously was quite staunch in what he had to say at his press conference. And then Parramatta and the Sharks last night, I know the score ended up one-sided, but it was still a cracking game of football. Clint Gutherson, the amount of territory that he covered, he's run for more than 10 kilometres last night.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I tell you something too, there's a bit of a sting in the tail too. You know how for years we've been celebrating the athleticism of the wingers and how brilliant they are at getting the ball, diving in the corner and all that. We've seen a couple of times already this year, though, the stick in the tail. It was Xavier Coates when he got knocked out.
Yep.
Didn't need to do the spectacular dive, and because he got clipped while he was in the air, he got knocked off balance, landed awkwardly, landed on his head, unconscious, had to get taken off for HIA. And yesterday with Jordan Rapana, could easily have dived with both hands and kept both hands on the ball and scored in the corner. Instead went with a spectacular, just one hand as his body's going over the sideline, and Roger Tuivasa-Sheck knocked it free, cost him a game.
He could have even kept the ball on his chest, I reckon.
Gordy, I looked at that.
I think Roger was coming. Yeah, but yep, I mean, like,
you might have been right. If he'd had the collision, if he'd gone in for the collision, like, say, Blake Ferguson is willing to do, I think he probably would have scored that try. Instead, he just went for that acrobatic one-hand put down.
Roger just gets a palm to him. Roger is at full strength,
got to him.
Then he's got no power left. So all of it is the momentum, because once you lose your feet, like, you lose your power. So it's momentum.
And he lost his grip on the ball.
And he just hits his elbow. Like, he just hits up the top of his, you know, bicep. So
and got just enough on it so he lost his grip on the ball and dropped it. But I think
he only had two hands on it. Two
hands on it, he would have withstood what Roger could deliver, and they would have won the game.
But it doesn't look good, Paul.
I know that. It doesn't make the highlights, that one, Brock Gordy.
It doesn't look good. Come on. It's got to be one-handed.
Now, this is the injury toll. And don't forget, we still have two games to go. Dylan Edwards, hand injury, back in round 7. Tom Eisenhuth, ribs. Spencer Lenu, shoulder. Brandon Smith, shoulder. Lindsay Collins, that was a bad concussion. Luke Keary, that's the big one, gone for the season. Lachlan Lamb, a knee injury, round 8 to 10. Bradman Best haven't even played yet, the Knights. He did his elbow in training, and he's gone for a few weeks. I don't know if we count that among the injuries this weekend, but that's a blow for them. Joey Tarpany, not as bad as we feared. He was probably back next week, but he missed most of the game last night. What about Ben Hunt playing with a broken leg? Back in round 7 to 9, Petr Hicko a knee, Curtis Scott ribs. I can keep going. Jeremy Marshall King broke his foot again. Canterbury Sione Katoa. Was it Canterbury Sione Katoa PCL? No, Cronulla. No, Cronulla's. They had everything go wrong last night. Michael Morgan, we've got to talk about him shortly because he might never play again. That's incredible. And then the HIAs, Ryan James, Sebastian, Chris Wade, Graham Britton, Nakora, Will Kennedy, Mitch Moses. So, Kenty, you flagged it. You said this is now creating a narrative.
It is a narrative. It was a big part of Fox Sports coverage last night on Super Saturday about whether there was a need for an 18th man. It certainly was driving the questions at the press conferences. The coaches were asked about it. Ricky Stewart didn't want to buy into any of that. He didn't even stick around for questions, Ricky, but he certainly brought into the bravery of his team and how they played. They were down to 14 men after just 12 minutes. and which has sort of prompted that this talk. And then obviously we saw that then carry on with what happened in the other game.
Cronulla.
With Cronulla, yeah. So, and after it, look, let's just have a listen to John Morris and what he said. Because I think he is sort of speaking the way most of the game is thinking at the moment.
And we'll hear from Brad Arthur as well.
Yeah, I think so. You know, like, rugby league's a game of war of attrition, and, you know, it's that's why you have the interchange bench there to cover if you lose a player or not. But, you know, I think the protocol's quite strict with the HIA, and, you know, if we're going to be really strict there and rule guys out, you know, with the head knocks, we also probably need to be a little bit lenient around, well, what's the plan if you lose three or four like we did tonight. When it first come out, I was sort of 50-50, but now that I've experienced that sort of carnage, because we've got to realise as well, like, the 13 players are out in the field, they're out in their feet as well. You know, they need to be interchanged, they're carrying niggles, they, you know, we need to be able to sometimes bring some of those guys off, and I think it has a knock-on effect there. So, yeah, I think I probably support it.
Oh, look, I know it was in our favour today, but my preference would be no at this stage. I like that, you know, sometimes you roll your sleeves up and sometimes you can have performances, you know, that has built your whole season. You know, like Cronulla were brave as tonight. But, you know, that's just my view, but I don't know if that's the right way to go, but that's my view.
So there we go, Brad Arthur and John Morris.
Look, I'm firmly in Brad Arthur's corner here. Now, Dan, I know that the emotional argument right now is, look at the injuries. Parramatta... Cronulla and Canberra were both affected by it, had, you know, lessened their ability to win the game, give them an extra player. But it doesn't work out that way. Look, if you could trust people to act in the best interests of the game and the rules, go ahead. But what I'm saying is, if you introduce an 18th player for circumstances where you run out of reserves, then you're not going to get – it's not going to fix the problem you've got, because what will happen, they already have tried that this season. It's already begun in the AFL.
It's already being rorted.
Yes, exactly.
Rorted.
First game it was rorted.
Every first round, every team went to their extra guy.
Right.
Every team. So they found an injury every team. So suddenly you went – so
can I stop you there? Have they got independent doctors doing the assessments? Because I reckon that would be a critical element.
Well,
you can't fake being dizzy.
You can't get up and pretend to stumble.
Oh, I'd rather it was in the hands of independent doctors than the club doctors at the moment.
Look, you can fake.
And you can pretend to fail.
Yeah.
And say, sorry, mate, I've got headaches. I just can't see. I've got blurry eyes. He can't send you back on.
Yeah, mate, he holds up his fingers. He says, how many fingers am I holding up? You say 12. All right, mate, come off. it's not hard to fake it. Look, let me just go through. This is why coaches, and I'm speaking as a collective, they will ruin it for the game. They've already ruined it. Back in the day, if you want to go all the way back in time, rugby league was a 13-man game with no reserves. If you've got an injury, you play with 12. If you've got two injuries, you play with 11. Then after a while, I said, you know what, this isn't fair. So what we'll do is we'll bring in reserves. And you had to play in half a game in reserve grade to qualify back in the day. So what happened then was they started then, only if he's injured can the reserve go on. So they started faking the injuries. Then they realised this is ridiculous, so we'll just allow you to take it off and put them on when you like. And went from two fresh reserves and two who'd played lower grades to four fresh reserves. Then we went to unlimited. We've gone back and forth all the way through this. But what happens is this. Over time, coaches have taken the four reserves who were originally put there to come in as a replacement for injury and decided we don't get four injuries normally in a game. So what we're going to do, initially they faked the injuries so they could get all four on the field. Then what they did when the game said, this is just ridiculous, everyone's faking injuries, we'll just allow you to do it whenever you like, the coaches started using those four replacements for tactical purposes. They're still right now using them for tactical purposes.
Yeah. Okay? They pull blokes off before they get tired.
They get them off before they get tired to rest them, because they see they got GPS on them, Gordon. They see their heart rate starting to spike, and they realise if they don't get this player off in the next set or two, he'll reach saturation point and he won't be able to perform at peak level. So they get him off. So the problem what we have is if you bring in an extra guy, they're just going to fake another injury to get him on, and you're just going to go to a five-man reserve system. And then in 4 or 5 years' time, we'll complain that that's not enough, and then we'll go to six. And if you just keep this way, you may as well just let them run on and off and just, you know, halftime, bring on the new team, and off we go.
gridiron. But you know what? I love the product. The product's fantastic. Fatigue's come back into our game. And I had a look. So the Sharks, right? So they were down to, what, no reserves in the second half.
Yep.
So fatigue makes cowards of you. You know what you do? You don't turn up in defence. They only missed 31 tackles. 16 were in the second half. Same as the first half. Mm. Right? And you look at the Raiders. They missed 11 in the first half, 19 in the second half when they were down on troops. The Broncos in round one, when they were down on troops, only missed 34. That's the average. About 30 tackles is pretty much the average missed tackles. So they still kept on turning up.
Yeah.
And I think that Brad Arthur or, Morris was talking about his effort last night, and Ricky, he's never been more proud of the boys. He said it's one of the gutsiest performances. That's what you take out. Queensland, we still live on when Mal Meninga broke his cheekbone, Bob Linder broke his leg, and Alf.
Broke his
and
leg.
Wally got us home. Mm. That's what's got to happen in that jersey.
Yeah,
when you're down on troops, you've got to lift. I think it's better for the game, it's better for the clubs to have those type of performances. Mm. I love it.
It's going to be up to the NRL, though, to have the strength to be able to say, no, we're going to stick with what we've got. Because the NRL is very reactive at the moment. And you can mount as soon as you throw these two words into the argument, you won your case, right? Player welfare. Mm. Player welfare. Forget the fact we need six blokes up to get him on the field. Forget the fact that we're faking head injuries. We're teaching them how to pretend they're not concussed. In other cases, when it's time to replace, we're pretending they are concussed and they can get off and have a breather for 10 minutes while they have their HIA, and then a new guy comes on.
You know what I was told, Kenny, goes on? And this started in the NFL and has come down here. So these players apparently do tests at the start of the season. That's kind of the marker, right?
Yeah.
So, and then when they are supposedly concussed, then it's sort of married up how they perform in that test on the field or off the field is married up. They are flunking the preseason test so that when they struggle.
I think they used to do that then.
It's changed?
I think they've changed it.
Very good.
They ask them to do things like say the alphabet backwards.
Right, okay.
Things like, so just cognitive stuff that if you're thinking clearly, you can.
Folks that can't do that now.
Yeah, yeah. Well, look. Probably takes a little bit of time to get through it.
Mate, I'd struggle to do that. Yeah.
But they have changed the rules because that did happen. There was famously the case, and I won't embarrass him, but a player who got knocked out, and when they played for the Canberra Raiders back in the day, and whenever they had someone knocked out, they had to pass his test before they allowed to come back. So in his concussed state, he did the test. He beat his mark from the start of the season when he was fresh.
Okay. Can I see you on this then? Because this is the way it'll. I can see it going down this way. 18th man, okay, that's too open to rorting. But Hoops, what if the player, like Nathan Cleary last week, is KO'd due to an illegal act? Could you see the NRL budging and saying, okay, you know what?
No. I can see him budging, Kenny. I'll tell you why.
I can see him budging, but they
look at the way that the game has evolved over the course of the last two seasons, last year and this year, all the changes we've brought in, the way that at times there's been criticism that some of it has been policy on the run. I love the product at the moment. I think it's fantastic. As Gordon pointed out, the way that fatigue is now back into the game, the way that it's giving the superstars the platform to shine is brilliant. But I will say this, if the coaches, and it's already happening behind the scenes, big name coaches are going to push that they want an 18th man, especially if a player is taken out, as Dan just pointed out, by an act of foul play.
It will all depend on the player taken out. If it's a middle forward at the 65th minute mark taken out, of course he's going to be replaced. It's your halfback. You don't want him replaced.
Yeah.
You want to keep him on. So it's a argument that sounds terrific.
No, but that's not if Cleary, let's use Nathan Cleary last weekend against the Bulldogs as the example. Well, Tony Zalesniak takes him out with a high shot, gets binned for the shot, right? And then as a result, Nathan's forced off because he's failed his HIA.
That's a no-brainer. But what if it's a hip drop tackle? Which is an illegal act.
We'll use the Munster one from Thursday night.
Okay, let's just say it's a hip drop tackle and it's on your halfback. You're not going to want him going off. But if it's on your middle forward,
you'll happily take the interchange.
You'll happily say, he's not really injured, but mate, get up and walk with a limp and off he goes.
And I'm going to play devil's advocate here.
Good.
Some of those tackles, and tackle techniques and the positions that they got themselves in were absolutely poor. Mitchell Moses goes and dives at his legs and wasn't even looking at the target, right? You can teach an under-10s kid to tackle better than that. That's not being... And then those two Canberra Raiders guys, not one bloke bends their back to use their shoulders. If you tackle with your chest, the only things that can hit is your head.
Yeah, but Gordy, I watched that too. I thought the Raiders were okay from the point of view that both had their head to the correct position and they hit with the correct shoulder, whereas Mitchell Moses didn't. Mitchell Moses had head in poor position, and you see that a lot these days.
And he's looking at the grass.
You see a lot of guys these days who just favour one shoulder. The days of when you got brought up and you got taught to tackle safely with your head going in behind or to the side of the ball runner, depending on what side you were, and you adjust the shoulder depending on where you needed to position your head, whereas now you see guys who just favour a right shoulder, so they'll put their head in front of people and hit with the right shoulder. So if they're coming in, if they're moving from their right to their left, where they should be then hitting with the left shoulder, so their head goes down the side of the player, they actually put their head across the front of the player to hit with the right shoulder because they get more force through the tackle and they're more chance of completing the tackle if it goes right. But, gee, a lot of them knocking themselves out this way.
I get all that. If Ryan James bends his back and hits him in the ribs, the old-fashioned Les Davidson style or Tony Carroll, he doesn't clash heads. One low, one high.
One low, if one Mitchell high, Moses, good, but that's... But I could argue that because one low, one high, they both went high. If they both gone low, you get the same result. They just both went in the same height, so they hit heads. If one was high, one was low, either side, it's as good as gold.
But look, that's my point. Everybody's carrying on about the amount of injuries. Some can be avoided. And you got Lindsay Collins.
Some are just accidents.
It was friendly fire. That's right. Yeah. It was friendly fire from Big Jared. Well, it was not friendly when Jared comes into it. But, you know, I mean, it was, you know.
He was in a mood on Friday night.
Ooh, wasn't he?
Question before the break. He was in a mood. Yeah. He was cranky. Question before the break. So the 18th man you've discussed, it's a no for all of you. What about the narrative that will start? Oh, the game is too quick now. The game is so quick, the players, like Cameron King put out a tweet, and that poor bugger, he's riddled with injury, and his career was ruined. But he put out a tweet, well, you got what you wished for, you wanted fast footy, and this is what happens.
No, well, that's not what happens. There's no evidence to suggest this is what's going to happen. The players, it's been unusual, certainly, but I'm still sitting here waiting for somebody to actually say, well, mate, it's because of the speed of the game. Why does the game being faster? I know fatigue's brought into it, but the game's always had fatigue.
Mm.
And then we got fatigue out. These guys are adjusting at the moment. Yeah. They will adjust.
Dan,
and when they do adjust.
Treadmill. It's not a treadmill and we've, you know, wound it up to weigh it in and they got to keep up. When they're running out of petrol, they slow down. They're actually going at the speed what they can as humans.
Okay.
Right? So what happens is if they stay on there longer, they just start to slow down and not make up the play. And that was my argument with the Sharks. They kept on turning up.
Mm.
I'd make this point further to that, Gordon, as well. We saw 160 games of regulation football last season, and it's, you know, up past the 20 mark already this year. This is the first weekend that we've seen this sort of carnage. So I think it's too knee-jerk to just say, oh, it's because of the speed of the game, it's because of the new rules. This is what's, you know, this is what we're going to get.
I wonder if it's these pitches, because remember, it's been bucketing down and it's soft underfoot. But anyway, we can't answer that. But, mate, to me...
But things like...
There's all those factors. Here. There are all those factors.
To me, footy hasn't been this entertaining since the mid-90s.
Oh, brilliant.
So good. All right. I'm loving it.
We've got a stack to get through. Blake Ferguson's going to join us. He was backflipping last night. I Call BS makes a return. John Morris, should he still be under pressure to keep his job at the Sharks? God, has he ever had any breathing room there? Ricky Stewart's press conference. We're going to play the whole thing. Don't worry, it won't take long. And Roger Chuvasek will join us as well. That is all to come as we bring you, what is this show called?
The Sunday Sin Bin.
The Sunday Sin Bin. Thanks to Tyre Power and their footy final sale on right now. Hey, I'm as prepared as everyone here.
Tyre
Power's final sale.
Yeah. Hey, listen, just because you sit in the maroon seat, you don't have to talk like him.
All right, more after this.
Triple M, Sunday Sin Bin. Triple M rocks footy. Woo! The Triple M, Sunday Sin Bin. Triple M rocks footy.
Dan in for Maroon. Newcastle West Tigers, our game this afternoon. Mitchell Pearce's 300th. We've got Paul Kent, James Hooper, Gordon Tallis as usual. And we do it for Tyre Power and their footy final sale, which is on right now. Buy three, get one free on selected Kumo passenger and SUV tyres. Boys, that was a good win last night by Parramatta in that they were helped along, obviously, by the Sharks basically losing their bench. But, Kenny, no Mitchell Moses, so it wasn't all plain sailing for the Eels, and they were good enough to overrun the Sharks at the end.
Yeah, I thought Cronulla were outstanding, and as a result of that, they forced Parramatta to step up their game without Mitchell Moses. I thought the Eels really responded. There's been some really good signs coming out of Parramatta this year. I thought their game a week earlier against Melbourne in the wet, it was Melbourne are very, very hard to beat. They're probably the best team in the NRL when it comes to wet weather football. And Parramatta just went out and out-Melbourne them. And they were really able to stick to their task. I think that's the big change we've seen in Parramatta this year. They spent a lot of time over this off-season working on just staying in the contest, staying with what they do. And Parramatta have this habit of they can play so well that they get a bit carried away with how well they're playing. And they suddenly start throwing the passes, and they get a little bit of Harlem Globetrotter stuff going on, and that sort of caused great angst to Brad Arthur, because he's like, no, just stick to what's working. But they start to get a little bit flighty. But I thought Parramatta last night just stuck in the contest, and really just as much as Cronulla were refusing to go away, it was the hand over the flame, mate. We're going to stick it out longer than you guys.
Gordy, do you see a different Eels this year? Because they're going to cruise into the finals. It's what they do in the finals that we're going to judge them on.
I see a more consistent Eels. I see a better forward pack. I think Junior Paulo leading away. Regan Campbell-Gillard is trying to go with him. Madison on the edge. But it just comes down. It seriously comes down to their halves. If their halves perform, I think Marnie's great at hooker. He in the first couple of weeks, I thought he was their best player. Gutherson against the Storm was fantastic. But it's going to come down to their 6 and 7, whether when push comes to shove and you're at the business end of the season, whether they get the job done.
All right. Well, this fella, he's been around a long time, and we saw some backflips last night. He must have known they had that fancy Fox League camera in his face because he put on a show for that camera. Blake Ferguson, hello to you.
Yeah, hey, guys. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Have you ever misfired on a backflip?
yeah. If I told you the story, it'd be big news. But
well, go right ahead.
You can't put that out there and then not deliver.
I've been in some dramas. Don't worry.
Hey, brother, was it after that pineapple cruiser on the roof that time?
Nah, I wasn't then.
Hey, Fergie, mate, it must be good to have the crowds back, and you know, especially yourself, you're starting to hit some form.
Obviously, you know, it's good that the crowd's back and, you know, obviously hitting some form. But last year was just, it was one of them years where it's just weird for everyone, whether you be a football player or not. But, you know, I'm just really excited about what we're doing at Parry. You know, we're all bought into something and hopefully it all comes to fruition.
Fergie, 3-0, great start for the Eels. The big changes over the course of the off-season were the halves switching sides and the back rowers switching sides. But from a player's point of view, where else do you think that the Eels have really sharpened up, and why can they go on and make a serious statement in the competition over the course of the next couple of months?
Well, I think we worked pretty hard in the preseason, you know, and, just being able to grind out a win and, you know, not getting ahead of ourselves. As Kenny was saying earlier, you know, in the past, you know, when the games are coming too easy, you know, we get too ahead of ourselves and all that type of stuff. But I think everyone's a year older, you know, our halves are a year older, our hookers are a year older, and, you know, they steer us around pretty well. So, you know, it all comes down to the halves and, you know, in the front rowers running hard.
I've been told too, Fergie, that Mitchell Moses, has been a bit of work done with him over the off season about just getting his temperament right and getting his control correct, so it doesn't upset other players when he's out on the field.
I think Mowie's an exceptional player, you know. Obviously, he just needs to, you know, stick to what he knows works for him. And I think for him, he just needs to trust that everyone else does his job, and he does trust that now. So, you know, over the last couple of years, we've gone to the finals and we've bowed out in the second round each time. And, you know, it's been pretty disappointing. And, you know, we want to go a couple better this year, and, you know, that's our goal.
Your front rowers have been flying to start the season. Junior Paulo is like a 5'8", trapped in 123-kilogram units body. And Regan Campbell-Gillard as well. You must be loving what you've seen from the big boys so far, Fergo.
Definitely, you know. It all comes back to, you know, just working for each other and not letting each other down. You know, you want to work out for the guy inside and outside you, and, you know, you don't want to come off the field and say, oh, that was a shitty game. You want to come off and say, I've done my job, and that's all we want from each other.
Hey, Fergie, what about the speed of the game and all the injuries, and everybody's talking about an 18th man? What's your position on it?
To be honest, you know, I think I listened to Brad Arthur's press conference last night, and I think he hit the nail on the head. It's a war of attrition, you know. Everyone trains hard. We were on the good side of it last night. But, you know, at the end of the day, if you train harder throughout the preseason, you put yourself in good stead to be able to handle those types of circumstances. So I reckon, you know, when you got no one on the bench, yeah. But other than that, I think you just got to tough it out and see what everyone's got in the heart, you know what I mean?
Blake, we've seen you have plenty of great one-on-one duels with players over the years. What was going on with Toby Rudolph last night? Are you two mates? It looked like there was a fair bit of niggle and a little bit of banter going on at times there with Big Rudolph.
Nah, I don't know. He's one of their leaders, so I like to think that I like to go after, you know, opposition's leaders. You know, I like to, you know, test myself against the guys that sort of get the other team going. So, you know, that's all it was all about. And, you know, he rips in, I'll rip in, and that's what you want. You want to battle.
How did you get him going?
How did I get him going? I don't know. He wanted to come out and try and tackle me, so I try and run over him.
Oh, well said. Like a typical front rower.
I think I'm destined to move into the front row in a few years.
Hey, speaking of the next few years, Fergie, you're obviously off contract with the Eels at the end of this season. What are you thinking? Like, are you committed? You definitely want to play on. Is there an opportunity at Parramatta, or do you think you might end up somewhere else?
I don't know, to be honest. At the moment, I'm just letting my footy do the talking. You know, everything that works out, I've got a good manager there that'll get the best deal for me. And, you know, I've got a young family that I need to provide for. I've got two kids, one on the way. So, you know, at the end of the day, they come first. And, you know, whatever happens, happens. Everything happens for a reason. And, you know, I've been in this business for 13, 14 years now. And, yeah, I'm just going to play as good as footy as I can. And you know what? Whatever comes, and it'll come if I keep playing good footy.
All right, I got a serious question to finish, Blake. I was watching your interview last night after the game with Vonnie and the team, and I was looking at your head and I thought, is this guy going to get a nose job when he's done? Because, mate, how do you breathe properly out of that thing?
I can't.
Why didn't you get it done in the off season?
I got it done once in the first game. I got back. I got a nick on the nose and a snap. So I was like, "Well, I'm not doing this again." I had two black eyes for 3 months. Are you serious?
Wait till you retire.
You gotta wait till you've hung them up.
Can you sleep properly?
Oh yeah, I sleep all right. I'm pretty high energy, so it takes me a while to get to sleep. But when I go to sleep, I'm knocked out.
Mate, you must sound like the 5'12" to Newcastle though when you're asleep.
100%, I am. The next big team. Ripping off the sandwich.
Right. We'll see you.
Ripping off the wallpapers off the.
We'll see you next Monday. That's a good game, actually. West Tigers Parramatta. That's become a traditional Easter Monday game at Stadium Australia. Do you think Mitch will be okay for that? I mean, how was he in the sheds after the game?
Yeah, we got a 9-day turnaround, so I think he'll be fine. I reckon he could have played on, but, you know, doctors stepped in and said, mate, give it a rest.
Beautiful. Well, enjoy your Sunday, mate. Enjoy your few days off.
Always. Thanks for having me, guys.
Always a good character, Blake Ferguson. What's going to happen with him? If Parramatta haven't moved yet, will there be another club? He's only 31.
Look, yeah, look, there will be another club. It's always a negotiation, Dan. Look, he's still got enough football in him that if he's prepared to take, obviously, a reduced offer. I don't know how much it'll be reduced by, but there'll be an offer somewhere. There might be, I dare say Parramatta will come in with some sort of offer. Mm. It won't be probably what he's on now, but that happens as players sort of, you know, get over the peak of their careers and but if they want to stick around for another couple of years, very few players go out and their last contract is their richest contract.
Mm.
So provided he's prepared to take what's there'll be an offer of some sort.
No question he'll find a club. It's interesting because I think Parramatta towards the back end of last year basically made their position clear and said, look, we've communicated with Blake and with his management that in all likelihood there probably won't be anything here for him in 2022. I don't think that'll matter. The way he started this year, he clearly wants to make a statement. He, as he just told us then, he's got a family. He's not prepared to hang the boots up at this point in time just yet. So I don't think there's any question he'll find another club. And if he continues the way that he started this year with the Eels, as Kenny just pointed out, look, they may well come back to the table.
I mean, he had, 18 carries for like nearly 200 metres?
He started like enormous scoring.
That's in this game with your big forwards taking, like I had Wendell and Lottie, just taking that extra hit up and giving you a break every now and then. If he can finish a year off and Parramatta go all the way, he's going to be an asset to any club if he keeps on playing the way he's playing. Simple as that.
Hey, quick question before the break. Benji's going to be with us. He does the games now on Sunday Arvo with us and he's going to join us at 3 o'clock here. So we'll probably ask him about Adam Reynolds. But let me ask you two. You Hoops in particular, how worried now should South fans be? Because I got to be honest, all the talk to me has seemed like brinkmanship.
Mm-hmm.
Now it actually seems like it might be getting a bit serious between South and Reynolds management.
Well, the Bunnies CEO, Blake Solly, was very quick to come out and say, look, it's by no means pistols at dawn. That was about 10 days, 2 weeks ago. But the way that it's unfolded since, you'd have to say that it is starting to get to the stage where, you know, it's make or break time. And if I'm the Bunnies, I just can't understand the logic behind it. So they're refusing to budge from the 12-month offer. Just go to 2 years. Mm. Just make it 2 years. Initially, I think Adam was looking for three. Give him two, and I'm sure you'd be able to find some sort of middle ground. But Souths are adamant. I don't know, is there more to this, Kenty? Because it's such it's such a weird scenario. And then you got Wayne coming out a couple of weeks ago saying, I've told him they should offer him 2 years, get him signed up.
I think it's come from the top. South, as you know, are a club unlike most NRL clubs. They're privately owned. And there's been obviously payouts. Well, not payouts because they got the insurance, but Greg Inglis retired early and got paid out his contract. Sam Burgess retired early, got paid out his contract. And I think there's just a thought there that they're overpaying long-term contracts for older-type players. And Reynolds, as he's getting to that stage where he's in his 30s, it's, you know, you never know. At that age,
injuries.
He's had injuries, and they can take you out, and particularly all these niggly injuries. And I think it's come from above Blake Solly. And I think that's
rusty.
Yeah, I do. I think it's come from the. I don't know if it's just him on his own or whether it's done in conjunction with his partner or how that they arrived at the decision. But I think certainly South are under instructions not to offer a long term deal. And Reynolds, I know. Look, I've spoken to somebody close to Reynolds right at the very beginning of this, and to me, like you said, Dan, you thought it was brinkmanship, but it actually. Right at the very beginning, it was very real. I know it's taken a while for everybody else to sort of come around to actually.
Because we see this movie all the time.
100%. So, yes. But I think this from the very beginning was South were very clear, this is our position, we will not be moving. And Reynolds was very clear, well, that's a position I won't be accepting and I won't be moving. And in the weeks that have followed since then, neither side has shifted.
Gordy, should I just give him a year? Just even if
Why don't you back yourself? Why don't you play a year and force their hand and half and play really good footy? Then they got to sign you the next. What's wrong with that? They're offering you a year. you're at an age where, you know, nothing's for granted in rugby league. And, you know, clubs do get bitten. Like, mate, we sit there and say, oh, mate, it's a poor deal, mate. Why would you give him 2 years and he's this? And we saw it with Parramatta a few years ago when it was blokes like Anthony Watmow.
Look, it's not just back yourself, Gordon. It's about respect. It's about believing whether the club's showing you enough respect. And I think that's something, you know, you certainly exhibited in your career, was that you wanted to feel like the club respected you.
Yep.
And responded that way. I think that's where it's come. Reynolds believes he's given South everything he's had as a footballer, and that all he wants is some respect in return, that he can see out the contract that he's prepared to sign. And South are saying no. So, look, and if they don't, he's prepared to back himself with someone who will show him that respect. Well, it is. But, okay, where's the respect? Lack of respect from his point?
No, it's not. Well, South are going, yeah, we want you to play. You want two, we want one. We're meeting halfway.
All right, we wait and see. When's that going to be sorted?
Who knows?
2 weeks? Got to be sorted soon, surely.
Well, I don't know. The way that it's playing out at the moment, I don't know that it is going to be. Like, there'd be further meetings again coming up this week.
Has anyone actually made an offer for him? We keep talking about Cowboys might be interested, Brisbane might. Has there actually been an offer for it?
No formal offer has been tabled in writing, but you can guarantee there'll be conversations going on at clubs that need a playmaker and an organising, goal-kicking, you know, first-class playmaker. They'd be talking about it for
sure. All right. We've got plenty to get to, including I Call BS, which is next. It is the Sunday Scrum. It's the Sunday Sin Bin. The Saturday show's the Scrum. This is the Sunday Sin Bin.
It's the knock on.
The Triple M Sunday Sin Bin. Triple M rocks footy. The Triple M Sunday Sin Bin. Triple M rocks footy.
Ah, yes, indeed. Full time in the Saturday games. The scores are Parramatta 28-4 over a brave Cronulla. In the early game, my goodness, what a match. Warriors 34, Canberra 31. We're going to hear Ricky Stewart's blow-up, or close to blow-up, shortly. And in a game Kenny described as the worst in the history of the of rugby league, Brisbane 24, Canterbury 0. You got Kenny, you got Hoops, you got Gordy, and you got Dan in for Maroon. And we've got this.
From the makers of The Earth is Flat and I'm Only Having One Beer comes I Call BS.
All right, you know how this segment works. Who normally goes first?
Whoever's got an idea, generally.
Our captain.
While the rest of us try to think of something.
Our captain,
which means we're
Kent
slow
Kent
out of the gate sometimes.
I'll go off first. I just want to talk about the story today in the Sydney or the Sun Herald today that Danny Wyler wrote about this. Thought that NRL officials are probably considering stripping Jarryd Hayne of his Dally M medals. I think it's disgraceful that they're going to go down this route. I think the fact that this cancel culture that we keep feeding is ridiculous. If you take the award off Jarryd Hayne, you're just going to firstly draw more attention to what they're trying to avoid. And secondly, it's a fact. You cannot take away the fact he won these Dally M awards fairly and squarely. Now, this is nothing to do with trying to defend anything else about Jarryd Hayne. This is all about the fact that you cannot allow this cancel culture to exist where you just pretend something didn't happen because it's unpalatable for other purposes. It's different from saying, for example, okay, they took the premierships off Melbourne Storm. Melbourne Storm cheated to win those premierships. Ben Johnson cheated to win the gold medal
in Seoul
at the Olympics. There's any number of Olympic gold medals who get their gold medal stripped because they cheated. But Jarryd Hayne won it fair and square. Now, something that's happened 12 years later is unpalatable, which it certainly is. That doesn't discount the fact that he still won that.
Mm.
You don't have to celebrate it. You don't have to invite him anymore
to
any of your Dally M awards nights. But you can't just pretend he didn't win those awards. You can't take his name out of the record books because something that happened 12 years later is unpalatable and criminal. It's just ridiculous. It's just so absurd that we allow this stupid thinking to be part of who we are. It's a fact. Deal with it. And like I said, you don't need to celebrate him anymore. You don't need to invite him to an NRL function ever again. But the fact is he did win it. And you can never take that out of history because he won it fair and square.
They will. So that try, right, that he scored in 09, the dancing try against the, that'll never get replayed on any official NRL.
No, it's gone.
Right, that's gone. You know, when we go to the Dally M's and they have the big wall with all the winners, we'll probably never see his picture again. But you're right. There is a little woke in the NRL that occasionally pokes its nose.
Oh, it's ridiculous. They wanted to come out last year and put out a statement when Todd Greenberg was CEO supporting climate change.
What? And every team flies to games every weekend.
That
and planes.
Oh, that's right. We have the private jet.
Can I say something, Chair? When that was pointed out to them, that was what Todd brought it up. He's going to come out and support it. He was told not to. He then raised it at the ARL commission meeting that I'm going to come out and support this. And Peter Vlani said, "You're going to look very silly when we have just announced a major sponsorship signing with a major airline. And all our teams are flying every week all around the country to play games." The hypocrisy of that is the only thing that stopped them. Otherwise, and this is my complaint with the NRL, that to your point, Dan, they should be apolitical. That they should not come out in support of any political stance or against any political stance. Just put on a good sport. Leave the rest for everybody else. Leave it for the politicians who need votes. Leave it for the social activists who want to change the world. But the NRL should not have a political stance. What, it should be there for everybody.
What was that thing you wrote?
We're entertainment.
Exactly.
Leave it as that.
What was that thing, Kenny, you wrote about Macklemore, that the NRL decided to make Macklemore this big sort of statement for, you know, the rainbow, and
it was a fluke. It came out the year of obviously the vote on gay marriage. So the NRL made a big song and dance about how they were inclusive because they had Macklemore, who had that, was it One Love song?
I think it was.
He had the song One Love, which celebrated your homosexual relationships. The NRL had no idea who he was when they signed him. They had no
didn't
clue.
Didn't they have someone else lined up and then they fell
else,
over? Bon Jovi or somebody else
they had
fell
someone
over.
Someone else lined up and he came in as first reserve off the bench. And then through the season, well after he'd been confirmed, the gay marriage really picked up and took off. And the NRL just thought, here's an opportunity. That's why we got him to do our NRL halftime entertainment. Oh, please. It's embarrassing.
Aren't those entertainments usually on the cheap? It's Sony or someone provides it. The NRL hardly even picks who it is. Look, it's just who's provided to.
Yeah, and they get it. Look, you know what? Last year they had Amy Shark, okay? This is what gets me about the NRL, okay?
Oh, no.
So last year, the big song and dance about Amy Shark, and when everyone said, who's Amy Shark, the way they explained it to rugby league people is they say, oh, she used to work for the Titans, right, before she made it as a singer.
Well, so Talos can do the grand final entertainment
this
next
is,
year.
This is the silly part, right? So every time you go to a game, whether it's Penrith, for example. Penrith, they always come out to ACDC.
Mm-hmm.
At stadiums across the country, when there's periods before the game that don't go to air, they generally have, as they pump up, they'll have AC/DC, they'll have
Metallica.
A little Metallica. They have that sort of hard
Guns
rock.
Guns N' Roses,
yeah. Hell's Bells.
But that's what they do. They have all that. And yet when it comes to their showpiece event, the grand final, the entertainment is Amy Shark. Where's Amy Shark in any of this pre-match during the season when real rugby league people are there? Where is she holding the rugby league community together through these games? It's such a desperate, we need someone that's recognisable. Why don't you just get, seriously, Cole Chisel every year?
Yeah, but like when I grew up, we used to have whether at the cricket ground, Lang Park or the Bush. Do you want that one to come out, be rolled out again?
But Gordy, I tell you what, you'd have more fans who'd sing along to that. Name me one Amy Shark song, Gordon.
I don't really know. I don't want to make it too difficult.
Can you name one of her songs? I don't know any of her songs, Paul.
But like if she's the entertainment and somebody else comes along and likes it, Yeah, I mean, we can't roll out AC/DC and Jimmy Barnes every year. I love it.
Why not get someone like Gang of Youths? Australian band, good rock and roll.
I don't even know who
they are. Actually, someone that can play a guitar. You know what I mean? Like, why don't we get a band like that?
That's the rugby name.
But, oh, Gordon, that's on you, unfortunately, that you don't know Gang of Youths.
What do they sing?
Righto. Gordon, we will move along.
Hang on. He's got you, Kent. He's
then
said, God, you can't
sing?
Name a Gang of
Youths
song.
Yeah. It's certainly the Matty Buddy White show. Look at you Googling too.
I don't know.
Jesus, good to get one up on you, Paul. It doesn't happen often, but I'm going to celebrate this.
In lightness and darkness, or whatever it's called, you know.
The Achilles come down, the deeper size, the frankest shadows. Let me down easy.
Let me down easy. That's a big one.
Let me down easy. Hoops, your turn.
Right, I call BS. I'm going to get it back to the football from Thursday evening and cracking game out there between last year's grand finalists. And look, this is a hard one for me to say because Cameron Munster's my favourite player. I love the way he's so instinctive. He doesn't require any sort of structure. He simply says, give me the ball, looks up, counts numbers, and then does his thing. But there was a tackle just leading into halftime on the Panthers forward, Spencer Lanou, who's a young gun prop who's going to go on to achieve big things in the game. And he had Big Nelson Asofa Solomona. He had Kenny Bromwich already holding him up. And Cameron went in and did this sort of hip drop crocodile roll manoeuvre, which, and you got to be careful here because the Melbourne Storm are on the warpath at the moment about the fact that we've called him out for certain things. But it just didn't look good. So I'm calling BS on the match review committee, who somehow, after the game, Craig Bellamy pointed out that it didn't look good, right? Mm. Now, for Bellamy to say that, the week before when Felice Kaufusi knocked out Ryan Madison with an elbow, he said he hadn't seen it and he didn't, you know, he'd have to have another look at it and all that sort of thing. So for Bellamy to be admitting that it was a bad look is a step in itself. I think it was, in all likelihood, probably a square-up. Spencer Lanou had put a shot on Tom Eisenhuth earlier in the game, which had forced Eisenhuth off and left him with floating rib cartilage. And look, it, as much as it was legal, it wasn't the toughest play in the game.
Do you reckon it was intentional? Because I was watching South. I worked at Fox. I think a South or a Rooster player do exactly the same tackle. You know, like then a bloke standing there, they're so strong these days.
Yeah.
And he just holds onto his waist and he just tried to sit down with him.
Yeah.
And his legs got caught underneath him. Or it is like the rolling pin and the chicken wing. It is planned.
Yeah. I think this hip drop that we've seen creep into the game over the course of the last 18 months, Gordon, I think that it is learned and practiced behaviour, and I think they try to disguise it.
I hope not.
My concern is, you know, is it going to take someone getting seriously maimed or injured as a result of that for the match review committee to really get tough? It staggers me, and they've been good so far. Like they've come out with more charges again today as a result of the games this weekend. They've been getting a lot of things right. I thought they went too light on the Felice Kaufusi elbow, and the fact that Cameron Munster hasn't been charged at all is a miracle.
All right. Gordy, save your BS. Quick.
Powder dry.
We're going to do... Okay.
I'll do mine next week.
No. We'll do it today, but I've given explicit instructions, and I know the host normally follows the explicit instructions of the producer, so I will follow those orders, and we'll take a break. We've got plenty to get to, including Ricky Stewart's press conference and Roger Chiovasa-Sheck. It's Triple M. It is the Sunday Sin Bin here as we get ready for the Knights and the Tigers.
Triple M, Sunday Sin Bin. Triple M rocks footy.
Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.